everyone. Welcome to the Steve Maxwell Drums Podcast. Don't forget to check us out on our website at www.maxwelldrums.com and then our reverb stores at Steve Maxwell Drums-Chicago and Steve Maxwell Drums-New York. We also have social media, two Instagram accounts, at Maxwell Drum Shop Chicagoland and then at Maxwell Drum Shop. And then also on Facebook, Steve Maxwell and Steve Maxwell Drum Shop. And then, of course, check us out on Twitter, at Maxwell Drum Shop. We will interview players, collectors, drum and cymbal builders, and also teachers about all things percussion. And you can go to YouTube if you want to see the video. We'll have pictures of drum shops, drum sets, badges, cymbals, all kinds of fun stuff. So let's get started. We hope you enjoy it. Yeah, 3, 2, 1. Hey again, Dad. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. It's been too long since we did one of these. It's been a long while.
Yeah. Always good fun.
Always fun. Always a fun time.
So, yeah, we've been doing a couple. I'm trying to get you on, like, every other one because you just got so much, you know, interesting knowledge that everyone wants to hear about with regarding to, you know, all these drum companies. So today we're going to focus on Fibes.
Yeah. this is near and dear to my heart. Fibes is a huge favorite of mine, and I've got a huge collection, and I'm sure when this thing finally posts, we'll have some pictures. You know, focused in there.
All the kits are set up
for
right
the kits
now,
that so. We've got. I've got a Fibes collection that's crazy here. We're creating a museum, basically a Fibes museum, and I figured it was finally time to drag some of those down. I had them stacked up and put away. I said, let's get them down and set them up, and it's just been tremendous fun doing all of that. But a little bit of backstory. This company was founded in 66 by Bob Grosso and John Marina in Farmingdale, New York. And, you know, Grosso was a percussionist, and he had a really, really great idea with the concept for fiberglass shells, and then also they did acrylic shells. But if you think about it, that fiberglass shell, it's very, very, very responsive, and it's going to create a great sonic chamber when you think about it. So they did a design, they came up with a design, and they basically created a unique snare strainer that they use on the snare drums, which you can see right there, and it's called the SFT strainer, and it has a knob that adjusts on that side, and it has no adjustment on the back side, but it does allow you to move the wires to a different slot. Bottom line is you've got fully extended wires, you've got a very, very sensitive strainer. Makes just the right contact on the bottom, and it's really, really well done. So a big part of the Fibe sound was, number one, the sensitivity was crazy, and I'll give you an idea of how many people loved it for that reason shortly. So there was that, number one. The sensitivity was great. The sonic quality was terrific. Now, it's not wood. It's not a wood drum, so it doesn't have the same kind of warmth that wood would have, but it's got a great sound, and I've done many, many videos with these drums, including the snare drums, and they're tremendous. But you also, by the nature of having that as a fiberglass shell, it projects tremendously. So you've got great projection, great sensitivity, the sound is terrific, and they were really, really well-made drums. So some of the things, when I think back on early recollections of when I first saw a Fibes kit was in 1974, and I was on the road. We had a gig for the summer on Cape Cod, and we basically, there was a music store down the street. And this is the first time I ever saw a Fibes kit. I didn't even know what it was. I wasn't paying much attention before. And it was just a simple 12, 13, 16, 22 and a matching snare, but it was a clear acrylic. And the Fibes lugs, I've always liked that diamond-shaped lug, but I was very fascinated by them. I didn't get a chance to play them then, but I thought it was pretty interesting and pretty cool. So later on, I became fond of this brand, but I did a little more research into it. So if you start thinking about what they did, Fibes, when they started, they made the shells, and the shells were very, very crudely made. If you have some of the early examples like we do, that fiberglass shell, I mean, you can tell these guys were kind of winging it. They're just not really, really smooth and 100% perfect.
Yeah, they're all kind of different. Each one's unique.
Yeah, but they sound tremendous.
some have hoops, like reinforcement hoops, and then some
that are kind of like made out of the fiberglass shell. They're not added in, so
yeah.
It's just incredible stuff. And when you look at all of these, the sound quality is tremendous, but they're all very different. So when we started thinking about all this, we looked at historically what did they do. They had an interesting set of hardware for spurs. The spurs actually worked very well. But in the very early days, they had no floor tom leg brackets. They had no tom holders. So what you find on some very, very early Fibes kits are things like the Ludwig floor tom leg bracket, Ludwig tom holder, anything that they could find and use, they
did. I've seen like Premier Hardware on them. I've seen
all kinds of stuff. All kinds of crazy stuff on them. And I even have one of their very, very early prototypes. I didn't bring it to this meeting. Is what looks like a Ludwig 8-lug chrome over fiber, but it's chrome over fiberglass. It looks like a Ludwig snare with bow tie lugs, and it does not have that Fibes strainer on it. And what it is, I couldn't tell what it was when I first looked at it. I said, this is a weird animal. It actually turned out to be a very, very early prototype for the fiberglass snares
before they even had the lugs. Yeah.
Yeah, so that one sits in my office.
That's a chrome, it's got like a chrome finish
Exactly, it's the chrome wrap. And they very, very much like the wrapped finishes. So they did chrome over fiberglass. They did a bronze, a brass-looking over fiberglass, copper over fiberglass.
I love the old catalogs. They're just like, that's the 70s.
Oh, the right? catalogs like, are great.
And you got a couple right here. Hold them up for everyone to see.
I've got a couple right here. This one.
It's the aesthetic quality of like the way they do the photography.
Yeah. There's the chrome over fiberglass snare there. And this is a classic thing. This is stamped. And dealers used to do this when they got catalogs. They would get a stamp and stamp their name every place on the catalog. And every bass drum head, this was Bill Faust from Faust Music in Milwaukee. And Bill was a character. He's passed away many years ago. But
we went there once, me
we
and
did.
You.
We did. Yeah. We did. He was a crazy
and
man.
And I think he didn't let us in, actually, if I remember.
We finally got in. But he was a strange,
I remember
strange
being at the
guy.
Door and having...
But he was really knowledgeable. But all dealers did this. They said, oh, well, we're going to hand these catalogs out to customers. We might as well stamp our name on there so they know where it came from. But the catalogs were done so beautifully. I mean, the artwork, it's the photography. Out here over by the water, of course, they were in, you know, in
just look at that.
East
they got
Coast.
Like all these know, natural...
By the beaches, you know, photographed by the water. Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible stuff. I have a
those finishes.
I have a snare drum in this finish in my office.
What's that one called?
You didn't see this very often. They had a particular name for it, and I'll find it in a minute. But
I've never seen that one before.
And then they also did a concert snare drum. And actually, one of the artists who really loved their product was Arthur Press, who was the principal percussionist for the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and had a Billy Gladstone original Gladstone drum. And Billy used to clear coat, black coat the inside of the drums to create a better sonic chamber. Arthur really loved the Fibes drums, and for orchestral work, Fibes even made one with the equivalent of like cable snare wires on it.
Oh, yeah, you can see it there, yeah.
So, yeah, you can kind of see it there in that one in the middle, the concert snare drum. So it's crazy, crazy stuff. And the other thing that people don't realize is that as time progressed, they did more and more with the product. They had a complete line of hardware. So, and when I say a complete line of hardware, I mean everything. So they had their tom holders. They had a single tom holder, a double tom holder. They had a special little thing here called the Stayway bumper, which I've got right here because we remanufacture these today. And it's a great little device. Goes right there. People go, what is that for? Well, it goes right there. And the reason it's there, if you think about it, if you have the strainer to your left as you play the kit, then you're going to have a piece of, or you're going to have a snare rim close to your rack tom. And back in those days, those rack toms were fairly close, and you get the snare rim rubbing against that rack tom and hurting the finish on the rack tom. Well, this little ingenious bumper just goes on right where you see it right there. You undo that screw, put it on, and it protects that tom from getting the scratches from the rim. It's ingenious. They had a whole line of stands and pedals, cymbal stands, hi-hat stands, snare stands, everything.
It's
bass
really,
drum pedal.
Really cool stuff, really simple.
Yeah.
The designs aren't overly... The spurs are really interesting, too. Never seen anything quite like that. They're easy to lose. That's the only problem with them.
Yeah, but I mean, you push in and you turn it and they click in and they're perfect. But when you pack the kit up, you have to take the spur out, so you got to make sure you keep track of it.
Misplace them.
And their hi-hat was a really great direct... pull hi-hat stand, somewhat reminiscent of the Camco design at that point in time. The Camco direct pull hi-hat was incredible. I still have one of those in my personal bag. It's my go-to hi-hat.
And then like the, it's also a really cool design, the way that the, that it's just an L arm.
Yeah.
That then you.
And it's a ball and socket design for the brackets
and
on the toms.
You tighten it.
And, yeah. And, it could,
and again, it's not
any angle.
Yeah, it's not easy to see here, but you've got a hex arm that comes out here, and then there's a bracket with a fiberglass ball in there with a hex, and you just can move that any way you want, 360 degrees, lock it down, tighten it up, and off you go.
And for people who are maybe looking for a single arm, we're...
We're reproducing those single arms now, as a matter of fact.
They're going to be made in America.
Yes, machined right here in,
Glendale Heights.
Yeah, right here in Glendale Heights, right where we are. So those are being made by us here, and we've got those. But when you think about this, who played these drums? Think about who played these drums. Well, Bobby Collinby was a great jazz drummer and played for Blood, Sweat, and Tears for many years, and he had a Fibes kit at one point in time. Billy Cobham had a Fibes kit with Mahavishnu, and he was an incredible, well, he still is, unbelievable player. But think about, you want something that projects. The Fibes drums are going to project like crazy. He had an acrylic kit, a clear acrylic kit.
A lot of videos out there with him playing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a see-through, just clear acrylic.
It's an acrylic kit.
Yeah.
Two bass drums. I think he's got one, two, three, four racks, two or three floors. It's a monstrous kit, and Billy is just incredible behind it. And that projects. And you have to keep in mind, like we said in another video, think about the times here. You're talking about right around 1970-ish, late 60s into the early 70s. The sound systems were not the same. The mics were basically, mics in front of amplifiers and some overhead mics on the drum set. So you had to really have something that would project really well. And those drums did. And sensitivity for Billy's kind of playing, these were incredible.
So when they started Fibes, the fiberglass, did they come out with that first and then acrylic came a little bit later?
Yeah. The fiberglass shells, and then they went and did acrylic. Not much.
You don't see a lot
later.
Of ads for the acrylic stuff, but
the acrylic drums were actually, I probably would say, equally as popular. The acrylic drums sound a little bit different because it's a different material. It's acrylic versus the fiberglass. So the fiberglass is much heavier. Yeah. So to me, the fiberglass projects even better. But the acrylic is great too.
And they're better than Vistalites for sure. I don't think they crack as often, right?
Yeah, better is not really the word. I guess I would say they were probably sturdier. They were sturdier than Vistalite. Vistalite, that was the Ludwig product, had a tendency to develop cracks along the stress points, and the stress points being where you mounted a floor tom leg bracket, or if you had a bass drum mounted tom holder, you'd start to develop stress cracks around the areas where those mounts were. It's not that I've never seen it, but I've rarely seen cracks in Fibes. It happens, but it's unusual.
And I have to ask, so does Fibes predate Zikos, or does Zikos predate Fibes? They're probably about contemporary, right?
Yeah, I'd have to look it up. And Zikos was acrylic.
They're all acrylic.
That was all acrylic. And there's some cool stuff there, including the design for their rim, which I can't really,
it's even less well-known than Fibes.
I don't have it handy right now.
There is a kit right there in the
corner,
yeah.
We'll do a separate thing on this, but Zikos had a design where there was a rim, and there's your lug, and there's your tension rod, and instead of there being an ear on the hoop that the tension rod goes through into the lug, they created, basically, a version of a claw. But the claw doesn't go on top of the hoop. So here's your hoop. Comes down, and then you got that flange where it goes over the head. And here you got your lug, and you got a tension rod, but on that tension rod, there's a little claw. That claw grabs onto a little slot in the flange. And so therefore, that claw is out of the way when you do a rim shot. It grabs down there, and if you have to change the head, you just unscrew it. You don't have to take the screw all the way out. The tension rod doesn't have to come all the way out. Unscrew it enough, you can fold it over, and then change the head.
Were they made in the U.S.?
Zikos made in the U.S. Yep.
American company? I know less about them than I know about Fibes.
And I am not a Zikos expert, but there was some cool stuff. That's another whole thing. I got a kit,
very
weird kit of theirs that I'll show you that was just
figured it was worth bringing up. Yeah,
it is.
Floor time the bottom.
It's all sorts of craziness over there. That was cool stuff. But Fibes, a lot of people played. Alan Dawson was a Fibes artist, great jazz player out of Boston, taught at Berkeley. Great jazz player. Alan was a Fibes artist. Grady Tate, great jazz player and also a wonderful jazz singer. He transitioned to being a vocalist later on. Grady Tate was a great drummer, played on Quincy Jones' Walking in Space album and many, many, many other things. Grady was great. Stan Levy, who was a fabulous drummer, played Ludwig most of his life, but he was a Fibes fan, had Fibes as well. And Stan used to play with Dizzy and Charlie Parker, not on Fibes at that point in time, because that was before Fibes was around. And I mentioned Arthur Press already. So there were a lot of people who loved these drums. Buddy Rich was a huge fan of these drums, especially the snare drum. Buddy had, basically, that I know of, he had four Fibes snares, just like the one you see here. Chrome over fiberglass, 5.5 by 14. This one is actually a 5. It's a little bit of an unusual example. And I was fortunate enough to have been able to sell 3 of those 4 snares that Buddy owned and played with his kit.
Didn't at one point he have one that had a 5 shell but was built out with different hardware?
Yeah, I was getting to that as well. When Buddy played Slingerland, Buddy played on Rogers before he played Slingerland. And at one point, he did have a Rogers-looking snare that was a Fibes. And basically, it was a chrome-over fiberglass built out with Rogers lugs and Rogers hardware so that it, on a stage, looked like he had a Rogers Dynasonic snare drum.
Is that out there somewhere?
I know somebody who has one of those.
That actually has the Dynasonic stuff on it as well.
Yeah, it's a Dynasonic build-out.
Kind of a cool combination.
Yeah, on a chrome-over fiberglass shell. And Fibes also did that for another artist. They did that for Jake Hanna. Jake was a Slingerland artist, and he had a walnut Slingerland kit. They did a walnut-wrapped fiberglass snare with Slingerland lugs and strainers, and it was a clone, basically.
It proves how good they sound.
Yeah. So Buddy had several of those snare drums, and he loved them. Come the Slingerland era, when Buddy was on Slingerland in the middle 60s, after he had left Rogers and went to Slingerland, later 60s, probably this was 67, 68-ish maybe, he had started playing the Fibes snare drum as it is right there. And it used to drive Don Osborne crazy, who was at that time the president of Slingerland.
I've seen pictures of him playing a whole Fibes kit, and I think there's even a video somewhere of him playing a
whole
Fibes
there
kit.
There is I'll get to that part of the story in a minute. But when Buddy was with Slingerland, he would just play that Fibes snare behind the kit, and it drove Don Osborne crazy. And I remember one of the comments was, you know, why do you play that when we give you drums for free and everything else? And he said, when you make one that sounds that good, I'll play yours.
Sure.
That was his comment.
Yeah, the way he tunes, the way you tune it, like, get that real nice sensitivity out towards the edge and tune, I'd say, on the high side.
Oh, yeah.
That's the tuning style you guys both have. These drums really lend themselves to that.
Absolutely, and that strainer is a really, really big part of that. The fiberglass shell, absolutely, and the strainer are both really big parts of that sound.
Yeah.
So, but yes, at one point, Buddy did have a Fibes kit for a very, very short time. He played on, it was sent over to him, and he played it. He didn't like it, and he didn't like, he just didn't like it for whatever reason. And, you know, that might have been the day of the week or, you know, you never know why. But for whatever reason, he didn't really like that kit. So he didn't play it very long, but he did have it for a while. And that kit is a good friend of mine, Don Bennett.
Oh, Don Bennett, sure.
Don Bennett had that kit. And I think that kit was sold at one time, but I think Don got it back, and there was, I'm reaching a little bit here. As I recall, when Buddy had the kit, it was the 13, the 216s, the 22. At that time, I think it was a 22, not a 24.
Was that White Marine Pearl?
It was chrome over five.
Chrome, yeah, cool.
And somewhere along the line, the 13 was lost. So I believe what Don did was he found a period correct 13 to go with it. And the snare was also with it. That was the one snare that I did not have, that snare. So, wow. And I think he then sold that kit to someone else a number of years ago. But he did have a Fibes chrome over fiberglass kit for a little while. I think he used it maybe on one gig or two, or I don't remember exactly.
I think there's a video with him playing on it where one of his cymbal stands almost falls over. He's on like a block. I think that was the Fibes kit.
You know, it could be.
He's up high, and there's not a lot of clearance for the cymbals. So.
Yeah, I think
the
trumpet
player grabs it.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that in a while, but yeah, Buddy did have one for a short time. So you know, end of the day, when I think about all this stuff, I look at different things, other things, finishes. They had these wrap finishes. They also had some really interesting finishes that I'll call. They had one that was like a black velvet, and I used to call it the Velvet Elvis finish because
Cordura, they called it, right?
Well, they no. Slingerland had a finish like that was called Cordura. Fibes didn't call it that. Fibes had this velvet, and you used to see pictures of Elvis that were done in velvet. That's why I call it Velvet Elvis. But they had black, blue. I think they even had red.
Red and purple.
And yeah. Purple. And they also had one that looks like a leather, and it's called a buckskin. And I've got a kid out there in that finish with the matching snare. So they had all kinds of crazy finish stuff. On the acrylic kits, they were generally the clear acrylic or like a smoke acrylic or a black acrylic.
Did they have any other colors? They didn't do like green or red or anything, I don't think.
They did not do red.
I've never
red,
seen one.
And I don't I think they did. Well, here we go. Let's tell you what they had available. And at one point, the finishes they had were on the wrap kits. They had an agate white, which we've got out there. An agate, which is like a marble. We've got a kit in that. White, solid white. Butcher block, we've got butcher block. Black. Buckskin, which is like vinyl suede. And obviously the chrome finish as well. And then they also had, for the clear kits, I think, in addition to the clear, they did have the smoked and the black. But let me see if it's in the other book, because there were a lot of different things that you don't see very often. But let's just see if we've got anything else in here. This one doesn't have a list. But, yeah, here's an example. And, you know, you can't see this very well right now, but here's an example of the red, what I'll call velvet, and the example of the blue. And another weird thing that people don't realize, they also made marching drums. There's 10x14 and 12x15 parade drums and Scotch-based drums. And if you think about it, they didn't do much of this stuff. I'm not even sure how many they ever sold. But if you think about it, on a marching field with a fiberglass or acrylic drum, that would carry like crazy on the field. Would be a great drum to have on the field. Same thing with the bass drums.
I've never seen one of those before.
No, I never have. That's probably one of the rarest things of all out there in the Fibes world.
And like
the hardware. You never see the hardware.
That's one of those things that's like rare, but no one even really wants it anyways.
Yeah.
So not really expensive. If anyone ever sees one of those,
You may want to grab it.
Yeah,
just for fun.
Get it for a good price.
But so, you know, it's an interesting thing. I am very, very fond of the brand because the quality was there. It was, you know, good old American ingenuity and a passion for it that got this started. To go through the work to actually figure out how to do this and then to work with fiberglass, which is royally miserable to work with. Today, with regulations and the like being what they are, and it's not that they shouldn't be what they are, it would be probably next to impossible to do this again.
Yeah, we care about the environment.
Yeah, well, of course.
But there's always a balance.
Of course, and people's health. I mean, working with fiberglass is almost toxic. You have to be really careful how you work with it.
When I think of fiberglass, it always reminds me of when I was growing up, the kids, the playgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
This is before, they used to be all wood, and then they did them in fiberglass for a long time, and now they're all plastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what it always makes me think of.
Yeah. So you have to, you know, when I think about this, I love the brand because I thought it was very, at the time, it's like, well, why'd you like it so much? It's not a wood drum, and I love wood drums, but this was very, very innovative at the time. And I saw it in 74 was the first time I saw it, and it had been around since 66. I was just slow to come to learn about it. But, and I'll talk a little bit about the lineage of how it changed over the years. But to me, it was, you know, something that was an idea that was born here, a concept that was just driven out of a passion for doing it. They did it, and they did it right. The stuff is great quality. They made all the parts. They had the strainer. The lugs were proprietary. The rims, the stands, the pedals, everything. It was wonderful. It was an incredible amount of work and a fabulous product. It just sounds great, and to this day, they sound incredible. So I'm a huge fan, have an enormous collection, which you'll see in some photos as Stephen puts them in there.
I don't think there's another brand that captures like the 70s aesthetic more solidly than Fibes.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And so anyway, I love them to bits. The company changed hands without getting into specific dates and the like, but at one point in time, Bob Grasso and John Morena sold the company to C.F. Martin. C.F. Martin's a company that makes guitars, makes the finest acoustic flat tops in the world.
And this is when it moved from what are the
So Fives was in Farmingdale, New York.
Farmingdale.
And then when C.F. Martin bought the company, they moved to Nazareth, Pennsylvania, where C.F. Martin had their factories. So the drums were then made by C.F. Martin. They were basically the same. Everything was the same. They were still using fiberglass, still using acrylic, and the SFT strainer and all the normal
parts. This is around
parts.
Like the 80s?
No, I'd have to go look up the lineage dates. I don't have any of the dates on any of the migration, but they sold to C.F. Martin probably, I'll have to look it up. I think it was probably later 70s.
Okay.
And C.F. Martin owned it for a while. They sold it, and what they sold, they did not include the Fibes name for whatever reason. So the Fibes design went on to become Darwin Drums at one point, and then at later point it went on to become Quarter by Bob Quarter.
Yeah, we have one of those, or we had it. I think we sold it.
No, I have it in my office.
It looks like a Fibes.
Yeah, it's a Fibes drum with SFT strainer, but on this particular one, on the Quarter drum, there were some being made with wood shells. And that particular drum sounds incredibly good. After Quarter sold it, Tommy Robertson down in Austin, Texas, bought it, and then he went back and acquired the Fibes name. So when Tommy Robertson had Fibes, at the last iteration of Fibes, Tommy Robertson had it. It was manufactured as Fibes drums, Austin, Texas, and he had the SFT strainer as well, and he had acrylic and fiberglass, also had wood.
Yeah, yeah.
He had wood shells that were very, very nice shells. They were Jasper shells. Now, I always think of Fibes. To me, Fibes is the fiberglass or the acrylic. But the wood shells that Tommy made, the Jasper shell drums, were really, really nice. They were excellent drums.
You can always tell those ones real quick because they have the badge that looks completely different.
The badge is very different. The badge almost looks like a shield.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it says Fibes, Austin, Texas. But Tommy ran that for many, many years.
Do you remember the pink acrylic one we had?
Oh, that's right.
There's this huge pink kit. Very cool.
One of the finishes they had for acrylic was pink. And we had an enormous kit. Oh, my God. It was like 3 rack toms, 2 floors, 2 bass drums, 2 snares, a 5x14 and a 6.5x14. And it was in great shape. It was very, very cool. That was a wonderful kit.
And they seem to have a lot more options in the acrylic. You know, if they had pink, they probably could do.
Yeah.
I've seen green.
There's a lot of different things. And I don't honestly know. I don't see much cataloged for the acrylics. I know for sure we had the clear, we had the smoke, and we had the black. Those were standard ones for acrylics. But you do see some other ones. The pink, that's there. So who knows? Maybe they just had a way to do it where if somebody wanted it special, you could do it special.
I think that was a later iteration. That was what they started doing in the Texas era.
my focus has primarily been on the fiberglass shells and the
The really early ones had kind of a longer. What badge is that?
This is the very first badge.
And that's a little bit
longer. The Fibes
longer.
Badge is the first Fibes badge is this rectangular one, and it will of course say, you know, Farmingdale, New York. And then this is one, you can't see it, it's too far away, but this badge is from right at the transition when C.F. Martin bought the company.
Right.
So
it's funny,
it says
they
part of C.F. Martin organization, and this catalog is 72. That's right around where that must have occurred, right around 72. But the early badge, very, very early, there were no badges at all. I've got a kit with no badges. One of the very, very first production kits.
Yeah, the early badges, they're like, are they paper? Because they fall off sometimes,
no,
too.
No, they're not.
It's like a little thin piece of metal that's just stuck on there with glue.
It's a very thin metal. This is a later Fibes Nazareth badge. But I've got the very, very early kit that I have that was one of the very first is an 8x12, a 14x14, a 14x18, clear acrylic. No badges. It's got Ludwig mounts for the floor tom legs. And it's just one of those things that was just very, very cool and very special. So I have that one here.
And we should talk about your collection. You've got out there, you've got one in kind of like a brown marble.
Yeah, that's the
finish.
Agate. The agate is, it's a brown agate. And we've got what equates to a double forte kit, which was 2 9x13s, 2 10x14s, 16x16, 2 14x24 bass drums, and the snare drum. I do not have the snare drum with this kit, but I have 2 13s, 2 14s, I've got 2 16s, I've got an 18, 2 24s, and a 22.
It's a lot of drums. And then you got the shower door. That's
Yes. Oh, God. Thank you for reminding me of that. There was another version of acrylic that basically looks like pebbled glass, which we call like a shower door. And I have a very, very large kit in that finish. That was not, there weren't too many in that finish.
I don't think it was in the catalog ever, right?
Not any of the catalogs I've seen. There could be some I haven't had laid my hands on yet. It's hard to find these catalogs, too. They're tough to come by.
Sure.
But that finish, there's a little funny story behind that. I had a pristine kit in that finish with three rack toms, two floors, bass drum, and matching 5.5 snare. And it was pristine, and someone talked me out of it. And so I sold it and regretted selling it. And I always wanted to buy it back. And but I ended up getting another kit. So what I have now is two 13s, I think two 10x14s, two 22s, two 16s. I think I've got an 18 floor, and I've got the matching snare. So I was able to replicate it and then some, and it's a really, really nice kit. The bulk of the drums are pristine. A couple of the drums are not as good. I don't put those with the kit. But I was glad to get that back. It's a very cool finish, and we'll have a shot of that in here.
Of everything we have. It's all set up now too. So
I've got chrome over fiberglass out there, copper over fiberglass. I sold my kit that was brass over fiberglass and regret having sold it.
Yeah, you got a white one. You've got
the white.
They call it FIFEL. That's what FIVEL. They call it. FIVEL.
Yeah.
I remember there's a silly...
FIVEL.
Yeah, it's FIVEL. A silly show with a mouse, FIFEL Goes West. That's how I remember that. That's what they call it.
That velveteen kind of finish they call FIVEL.
It's even more confusing because Korter owned them later. So, yeah. You know, that gets the thing confused. I knew Korter was in there somewhere. but we should talk about some of the eccentricities of Fives drums. If you're ever trying to measure how the depth of a Fives drum... Heads sit on them, for whatever reason, a little differently than other drums. So it can be kind of difficult to get the actual, and not to mention they did all sizes, very boutique-y. I think you could get a 5, 5.5, or 6, or 6.5.
Yeah, you could. And mostly you saw 5.5s and 6.5s. But you could order a 5 and you could order a 6. And I've had examples of all.
If you have one... I would recommend actually taking the hoops off and measuring it, because for whatever reason with these drums, and this happened to me. I sold one to a guy once, and I had measured it incorrectly, and I think he ended up keeping it because he liked it.
You should measure from the inside because it's tricky. But the drums are great. They tune up tremendously. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting, if you look at old Fives and you look at the way turn it sideways here, people are going to say, well, look how these lugs... these tension rods, they tow. They don't fall in straight in line. So if you've got the lug here, normally your tension rods are straight here, straight here. Okay. Well, on Fives, I'm exaggerating. From the rim, they go in at a little bit of an angle, Okay. Well, that doesn't really matter much when you've got a swivel nut inside that lug. So it's not like it's going in there and it's going to strip something that's threaded in the lug. It's going into a swivel nut that moves. And the bottom line is, even though those towed out a little bit from the shell, out a little bit from the side of the shell, the drums tune up perfectly, they sound great, and it's never been an issue. What they could have done to resolve that would have been either to A, make the lug a little bit thicker so it stuck out a little more from the shell, or put a little bit of a, you could say maybe a,
spacer?
A rubber spacer behind it.
Gasket.
A gasket, but they didn't need it. The drums sound great.
It's almost like the shells are slightly more undersized than most shells.
Yeah, I mean...
That was a thing. I mean, that's...
Yeah, the drums sound great. The heads seat beautifully. The sensitivity out to the edges is incredible. And, it's a fiberglass shell with no... So it's got basically no reinforcement rings except for those few weird examples. So the edge is a very sharp edge.
Yeah, I think usually the snares don't, but the bass drums usually have reinforcement hoops on them.
Yeah, some do. And again, it's not a reinforcement hoop that's put in. It's just when they form the fiberglass, they form it with an extra bit to create more reinforcement at the edge.
Yeah.
So it's great stuff. I could go on forever about it, but
I got a question. So when they were biggest was probably mid-70s, That's when they were seeing most of their success?
Late 60s through early to mid 70s, probably 60s.
And what percentage of the market do you think that they captured?
Oh, God, small.
Yeah, and then this is one of the boutique, very small companies that...
I mean, this is like, this is the era where Ludwig, Slingerland, Rogers, and Gretsch were the dominant brands. Ludwig was the dominant brand. Slingerland behind that, number two. Rogers and Gretsch kind of neck and neck as three and four, and only because Rogers would still be a popular brand with rock players, but not so much jazz players. Gretsch was a popular brand with jazz players, not as much rock players, but one, two, three, and four, you're basically looking at Ludwig, Slingerland,
right.
Rogers, and Gretsch. Then you've got other brands, boutique brands in there like Camco. And Camco was a great drums, fantastic drums, made in Oak Lawn, Illinois, initially in the 60s. Great drums, but more of a boutique market. Probably, I don't know, back then I don't know what market size was, but I would say Fives and Camco maybe during that era were probably about the same in terms of market share, but not a lot. It was not a big major brand like those other four were.
Made a huge difference though, considering how
how
small they were. Just that innovation and yeah, they just have like I just love the lugs and just the simplicity of the hardware. Yet it's very functional.
Yeah,
it lasts forever too. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a malfunctioning Fibes tom mount. They all still work. All the ones that I put my hands on,
they work. You know, and that mount is a little bit. You have to. On some of those, it's got that little fiberglass ball in there, and you really got to crank it down sometimes for it to stay in place. But once you do, it's not going anywhere.
And for those who don't know, it's really interesting. There's like two pieces, and you just crank it down, and they literally, and it looks kind of like the lug. It's the same shape.
Yeah.
And they it
the
just,
bracket is the same shape. The ball inside it is a fiberglass ball with the hex.
And the ball, like half of it is above the shell, half of it is actually inside of the drum.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Cool.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just like
piece of hardware.
And if you think about it, people go, those mounts, aren't really that good. You know, they'll slip. Well, they didn't slip when Billy played in Mahavishnu.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anybody. If anybody's going to make those mounts slip, it would be Billy playing with the Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Sure.
and it worked out okay for him. But
if you think about when it's from, I mean, people were still using rail consolettes at that point. So
oh, yeah. Yeah, John Bonham had a rail consolette on his kit at one point before he started using a floor stand for the bigger 10x14 and 12x15.
Yeah.
You know, guys were using... guys were using that on Mitch Mitchell with Hendrix, rail consolette tom holder.
Right. Yeah.
And Bonham had his cymbal arm, 9.5 millimeter cymbal arm on his bass drum.
Amazing that worked for him. Yeah. He must have cranked that
and
thing
you have
tight.
To crank it. Yeah, you crank it down, but hey.
A little trick for those listening, take your drumsticks and use them to get extra leverage on there. That's what I do.
Or what we used to do, and you can do it now, you take the wing screw off and put a hex screw on and take a hex wrench and crank it.
Oh, yeah. That'll do the trick.
It'll do it. But anyway, so that's kind of my... my commentary on Fives. I love it. I hope you get a lot of nice pictures here. We'll do a video of the collection. We're working on setting up the entire collection here. It's probably, maybe 20 sets?
Yeah, and we did a walkthrough just recently.
We did on the walkthrough.
You see them all there.
Yeah. There's a couple. There's a couple in back I still haven't set up.
You got a butcher block one back there.
We got a butcher block back there.
Just like the leg. Probably got the finish from the same place Ludwig did. Ludwig did those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very much like that. And that one's a 12, 13, 16, and a 22. And actually know somebody who has a butcher block 13, 14, 18, 24, which I almost think I probably should buy just to...
And I like the small kits in Fives because those are like super rare. You don't see a lot of
those.
Thank
you for bringing that up. That's a very good point. In some of the Fives catalogs, you see nothing smaller than a 22. In one of the catalogs, you'll see something that's a 12, 14, 20, which is this one right here, 12, 14, 20.
On the beach.
But I have seen 118, which is the one I have out there. And I have not seen in person myself, personally.
That's a clear acrylic one.
A clear acrylic.
And it looks like it's really early.
It's the prototype kit. Yeah, it's one of the early prototype kits. And I have not personally seen a 20. All the rest of my kits.
And you have seen so many. That's crazy.
All the rest of my kits are 22s and 24s that I have. And most of what they... But you have to think about the times. they were promoting this. You know, this was a loud, it was going to project really well for rock players who needed more volume to compete with the amps through the 60s into the late 60s into the 70s. So they're going to be promoting larger sizes generally. You could get the smaller sizes. They were able to be ordered, for sure. You just don't see very many.
Yeah.
I would love to have a 12, 14, 20. I have the 12, 14, 18, but I don't have a 12, 14, 20.
If anyone out there knows, let us know. We'll buy it from you. Yeah, a note on these drums. We've done some sound files, and if you look through our, just go onto YouTube and look up, just write fives in there and, you know, search. And, man, these things, they really do record well. And you'd think maybe they wouldn't have that warmth that wood does. And they don't have quite the same, but they have their own kind of warmth. And there was a kit that we just recently did that Noah played on that was a – it was an 18, I think it was an 18-inch floor tom that was converted into a bass drum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cool kit. It was like a 18, 12, 16.
Yeah, and that definitely, that was a converted floor tom. That was not, it was a 16 by 18 that was just converted.
And we sold it, but man, that thing sounded good. Yeah. It really sounded just top notch.
Yeah, and it's an important thing to remember that, you know, they do record really, really well. And one thing that you could check, if you go out to my YouTube channel, Steve Maxwell Drums, and I would say search Steve Maxwell Drums Buddy Rich Fibes. There was one of the five snares that was one of the Buddy Fibes that I had played, and I played the drum and to demonstrate how great it was, and then I had folded in a video of Buddy playing the same drum, and so you could see how it really should be played. But that's out there. That's still on my YouTube channel. If you want to check out how that sounds, that's the one to look at. That's chrome over fiberglass, SFT strainer, 5.5 by 14.
Yeah.
That's the one to check out. So,
and then one last thing. Nowadays, is anyone making fiberglass drums?
There's one
regularly, because people do little special things.
Yeah, you know, no major production. No, there's a little boutique company that's making some snares. The shells are much different, though. The Fibes fiberglass shell is very thick, and I like that about it. I think that contributed to the sound. It contributed to the projection for sure. So there isn't anybody doing it on a mass market basis. Pearl did fiberglass shells in the 80s.
Yeah.
That kit right up there was Art Blakey's, and that is Pearl fiberglass shells, and those were incredibly good shells. Thin, not like the original Fibe shells, but those drums sing. Those shells were wonderful.
And so why
they ever stopped,
I'll
never know.
Yeah. And if you look at their hardware from that era as well, it's a little reminiscent of the Fibes. It's got that hexagon and
Well, and they had a little ball and socket thing going there, but that ball and socket was from the Rogers. Rogers was the influence on the ball and socket for everybody. But
are amazing drums. They're pretty inexpensive too. So if you want to get yourself a really good Pearl kit, if you go on like, you know, Craigslist or you know, eBay or Reverb, sometimes you can find, you know, 22, 12, 13, 16 for like next to nothing.
Yeah, and there were two different kinds of Pearl. There was Pearl all fiberglass, and there is Pearl wood fiberglass.
Oh, what's that? I didn't know about
it's
that.
Just a combination. It's a it's a combination of wood and fiberglass together. But that's not. That's the one you want is the real fiberglass. Just the Pearl fiberglass.
So did they do like a? Was it like a veneer of wood over the fiberglass or something like that?
I don't know how the shell composite is made. I really haven't paid any attention
I've never
to
seen
that
it before.
It hasn't been one that's been on my radar. But the Pearl. The actual real Pearl fiberglass, just fiberglass, all fiberglass. Those are wonderful drums, and you're right; they are very inexpensive if you can find a kit.
Yeah, we bought one from a guy that just brought it in a little while ago. It was a black one, you know, and I actually didn't even know what it was. And then I looked at it, and I was like, "Oh, that's a fiberglass shell. Cool." I thought it was just like an export.
Yeah,
and
they generally have some of them had under the Pearl logo sticker below it. They had. A little smaller sticker that said fiberglass, but sometimes those things fall off. But you can flip it around.
For those of you, if you have a Fibes snare and with this snare mechanism, Pure Sound, they make a snare for the Pearl Free Floater, and that will work on these.
Good to know. Yeah.
So that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
And if
and that is good to know because. These do require, the way the snares are mounted, they need to, there's a little screw that has to go up into each of the tabs at the end of the snares, into the strainer and into the butt. And not, you know, there's not a lot of snare wire combinations out there that will do that.
But yeah, they're longer.
That's good
than
to know, because they're longer than normal. They got to be just right to be. So, that's good to know.
Pure Sound stopped making most of the stuff they made, which I don't know why they did that. That's too bad. But they still make the free floater one.
It was, and so it was supply and demand. You know, you can't make everything for everybody if you only sell 10 of them a year. You know?
Right.
So they had to figure out what they need to keep making and what they can stop making.
We had like a stock of those, the old snares, and it's been slowly dwindling. And now we've got all the ones left that no one ever needs at this point.
Yep.
But yeah, so I think that covers most of it. We're going to do more of these. Like I said, about every other video I put up is going to be one with my dad here. And in the comments, if you want us to do a particular company, just let us know.
Yeah, because
there's so many out there.
We can't think of everything. I mean, if you come up with something you'd like us to cover, let us know. We'll see if we can do it.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you have any Fibes catalogs you want to sell, give me a ring, because I'm always looking for more. I was so glad to find these two, and they are literally pristine. So I was really, really thankful to get those. I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, thanks, everybody.